Here's your money briefing for Thursday, July 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 0.75 percentage points for the second straight time yesterday. And Fed Chairman Jerome Powell made it clear it won't be the last time. Now, every rate hike makes it more expensive for consumers to borrow money. So, should you tap into your 401k, take a home equity line of credit?
Ask yourself, what goal am I accomplishing by borrowing this money? Why do I need it?
Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter will run through borrowing choices that people should consider to keep their interest payments in check now and as rates continue to rise through the end of the year. That's after the break.
Not running your business on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cat pulled over your eyes. Over 29,000 businesses already use NetSuite. Head to netsuite.com/minute for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/minute.
The Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 0.75 percentage point this week, and additional rate hikes could be on the way. That's making it more expensive for consumers to borrow money. So where should consumers look to borrow to ease the burden of interest payments? Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter has been talking to financial advisors about this, and she joins me now. Hey, Julia, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Julia, the Fed raised short-term interest rates yesterday by 0.75 percentage point. Just put that in simple terms for us. What does that actually mean?
So when the Fed raises rates, that means that it's increasing the rate that banks charge each other to borrow money. And we see this in our personal lives, in our household finances, and it has ripple effects in a bunch of different financial products we use. It affects all different kinds of rates that touch us, things like mortgages, credit cards, you know, how much you pay for a refrigerator, all that stuff.
Yeah, and the Fed has raised rates by 0.75 percentage point two straight times, making it all the more expensive for consumers to borrow money. And there are many reasons why somebody might need to borrow, but in this rising rate environment, what questions should they be asking themselves?
I spoke with Charlotte Galetka. She's a financial advisor based in the Atlanta area. And she said in this environment, the first thing she asks clients is, let's talk about why you're borrowing. What is this helping you to achieve? And I thought that raised a really good point. You know, ask yourself, what goal am I accomplishing by borrowing this money? Why do I need it?
All right, so let's talk about how these rate increases are hitting consumers. A lot of people are seeing their budget stretched thin and they might need to rely more on their credit cards to cover expenses. How are these rate increases affecting them?
That's definitely something I'm hearing from people a lot, that they need a little bit more wiggle room in their budget just to make ends meet. So credit card rates typically go up when we see the Fed increase rates. That's because average annual percentage rates for credit cards, or APRs, for those with good credit, it's in the double digits. It's nearing 20%. And those rates are expected to rise further now that we've seen this increase in rates. So when I spoke with financial advisors about this, they said, you should know the APR going into this when you are putting money on a credit card. Keep that number in mind. And then when you do that, you should set up a payment plan for yourself. That way you might look at your overall credit limit and think, I have this much money to spend, but you should think about it as a payment plan that you're setting up for yourself. I have this money that I'm putting on this card and, you know, the next 4 months, 6 months paying off in this many increments. I spoke with Malik Lee. He's founding principal and financial advisor at Felton and Peel Wealth Management. He said you should think about it as, you know, if you say I need $12,000 to make it a couple of months, that's okay. But if you need more than that, if you need more money than you feel comfortable putting on a credit card, then in his words, we have bigger fish to fry.
All right. Well, let's say somebody has bigger fish to fry. You know, they want to borrow larger amounts, but don't want to deal with the pressure of interest rates around 20%. What else could they consider?
Speaking with financial advisors, you could draw from your retirement account. And the good thing with that is that you can pay yourself back. You're borrowing from money you've contributed to this account, and you are paying yourself back with the money that you will then be contributing to the account. So 401k plans have this set up. Typically, the interest rates on these are lower. They're typically the prime rate plus 1%, so lower than those double digits we're seeing on credit cards or some of the other interest rates we're seeing on other products. So they're lower than credit cards, lower than personal loans. And the other good thing about this is that many 401k plans allow you to borrow either $50,000 or up to 50% of the funds vested in your account, whichever is less. So that's a significant amount of money that people can tap. There's obviously, though, downsides to this. When you're taking money out of your 401k, you're risking your retirement security. You have that money in there because you ideally don't want to have to touch it until you retire. And the other bad thing about that is that when you're removing that money, you're going to be missing out on market cycles. So that money won't be invested, and that money could then lose out on even more gains for you, more money that you could have in your retirement. But when I was speaking with Charlotte Galecka about this, she brought up if you're a younger person, this might be attractive because you have many more market cycles that you could have to make this up. Somebody closer to retirement, you know, you're plundering from that chest and you won't have as many market cycles to make it up. So it's something that young people could consider if they need this funds. But as, you know, Charlotte Galecka said, it's not their favorite option. Nobody wants to touch that money, but if you have to, it's an option that's available for you.
Now, some people consider borrowing against the equity in their home. How do the Fed's rate hikes affect that option?
Right. So if you have a home, you have options to take a home equity line of credit. It's called a HELOC. That's typically lower than other loans. And we can see the interest rates on those, you know, maybe staying lower than those credit cards, again, in the double digits or personal loans. And right now, Americans have a lot of equity in their homes, more than ever before. So when you use this money, you could use it for home improvements that can then be tax deductible. And then you could actually then use it to increase the value of your home so that then when you're paying yourself back, your home could then sell for more. So a lot of people do this if they're thinking about renovations or home improvements, things of that nature. The downside again, though, and to quote Charlotte Galecka, you're using your home as an ATM. So if you're at risk of defaulting on this, you're not just going to be losing, you know, some piece of collateral, you're going to be losing your housing. So it's really, really risky. And as Malik said, you know, we learned from the Great Recession that this is how a lot of people got into trouble.
Okay, but the interest rates on home equity lines of credit fluctuate, right?
That's the other thing that's tricky about this is that it's a variable rate, you know, and when I was speaking with Mr. Lee about this, he said, when you're looking at variable rates in this environment, it's tricky. You know, he recommends always opting for a fixed rate over a variable rate, because with a variable rate, you really need to be carefully monitoring your cash flow and you need to leave yourself some wiggle room there as a hedge, because if the variable rate fluctuates and, you know, goes up more than you can afford, that can be really tricky for you down the road.
Now, people can also just straight up borrow cash, and a lot of people consider personal loans. How do they fit into the rate environment that we're in?
The good thing about personal loans right now is that the interest rate is lower than we're seeing on credit cards. The average interest rate is around 10.6% as of July. The bad thing about that is that that is up. That's up from around 9% a year ago, and we were seeing closer to 9% pretty much all of 2021. So we can expect that rate to likely tick up now that we're seeing this Fed rate hike.
And let's not forget about just picking up the phone and asking a relative to lend you some money, right? It sounds easy enough if you've got a good relationship with your relatives. But what are the rules governing family loans?
This is an option that kept coming up when I was talking to advisors. And that's because if you have a good relationship with your relatives or, you know, with a friend, then you can ideally set a much more favorable rate for yourself. You know, you can set something much lower than any of these other products that we've talked about. So that's a huge plus in this column. And the IRS actually sets rates for intrafamily loans. They do this as a way to prevent people from disguising gifts as loans. And as of July 2022, the rate for a long-term loan is 3.22%. So that's much lower, you know, about 2 full percentage points lower than current average mortgage rates. So definitely a good deal there. But the tricky thing about this is that it's family, so it's complicated. I spoke with Nina O'Neill. She's an advisor at AIM Advisors, and she said that you should write the payment plan together and you should treat it as a really serious financial document. Get it signed, get it notarized, have a witness, make sure you've included all possible information in there, a repayment date, you know, repayment amounts, and outline all possible repercussions. And that way you can try to hedge against any difficulty.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. Julia, thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.